We'll move to the second case of the morning, which is number 06-2884, the United States against Hugo Melero. Mr. Carlson.
My name is Kent Carlson, and I was court appointed to represent Mr. Melero both in the district court and before this court. And I want to start out by acknowledging that this appeal was basically filed to preserve the very issues that the Supreme Court heard oral argument on yesterday in Rita and Claiborne. And I think this case is a case that clearly falls within that. We have a situation where we have a guideline sentence that was imposed that Judge Norgel considered that a sentence within the guideline range was presumptively reasonable and then imposed that sentence without virtually any explanation or any discussion of the 3553 factors. And that's really the gist of our argument here, is that there's nothing to show that Judge Norgel considered all of the factors that are required to be treated under 3553. He looked at Congress's intent and basically based his sentence on that, as well as Mr. Melero's prior criminal history. I don't believe the record indicates that he considered the other factors that were set forth in the sentencing memorandums. And I think when sentences, the length of which Mr. Melero faced a range of 210 to 260-some months, I think more is required than merely giving what I would consider to be lip service to the 3553 factors, to the extent you can even consider what Judge Norgel did at that point.
Can I ask you what difference you think it would make? Suppose the Supreme Court were to rule in Rita that there are no presumptions or anything. Everything is always a clean slate, although the guidelines remain as a factor among many factors identified by 3553. What difference would it make here, given the fact that the judge does look at, it seems to me, a number of points about Mr. Melero's crime, about his role in that crime, about his obstruction, about his, you know, lying about who was there when the transaction took place, and all.
I think what the problem becomes is right now, and what Judge Norgel did here was basically everything was guideline driven. He looked at the obstruction of justice issues, and he treated everything as a guideline issue. And I think that's part of the problem that we see, not just in this case, but in many cases, that judges just feel comfortable with the guidelines. That's what they know.
But what did Justice Breyer mean when he said you should still look at the guidelines? I guess that's what we're all struggling with. Maybe we'll hear more about it. But what we have done in quite a few cases since the court granted cert in Rita and Claiborne is we've said, let's just look at it as though the court decides that there are no presumptions. And it's very often the case that we and all the other circuits come to the same result, that the guidelines produced a reasonable sentence and the judge was entitled to be advised by them.
I believe that the problem in reviewing it, I think, is a different situation than the district court judge in the first instance. And I think that's
certainly correct, yeah.
And I think the problem is that district court judges, and especially Judge Norgel here, it was the guidelines. The guidelines were the controlling factor. It took a preeminent position amongst the factors that needed to be considered, and that is where I think that the error occurs, and it is something that Booker certainly does not allow. It does not say that the guidelines take a preeminent role. They must be consulted, but that they should not have any greater impact than any of the other factors, and I think that's really what is at issue here. And I have nothing further unless the court has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. We'll hear now from Mr. Chapman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, the defendant's 222-month sentence in this case should be affirmed because there is simply nothing in the record to rebut the presumption of reasonableness that applies to the sentence. The guidelines range in this case is 210 to 262 months. The defendant is not challenging the appropriate or the calculation of the guidelines range. So that is the agreed upon appropriate guidelines range. The sentence of 222 months is 12 months above the low end.
But what if, actually I have a factual question to ask you too about this case, but on the theoretical point, what we are waiting to find out, in a sense, is exactly how strong the advice given by the guidelines really is. And if a district court judge, as Mr. Carlson was arguing, seems to feel that there's some burden on somebody to justify a sentence outside the guidelines, that may prove to be a mistake. I mean, Rita may hold. I think Rita's probably, of the two cases, more pertinent to this problem than Claiborne. It may hold that that's not the way this should be done. And if that's at all a possibility, one thing this court might need to do is, we have not been holding cases for Rita, but we could consider whether we should hold cases for Rita. We could consider what difference it might make in this particular case. Maybe some other case it would make a difference and not here, or vice versa. But my question is really, if the judge is too constrained by the guidelines, maybe that's inconsistent with what the court meant in Booker.
That is, if the district court.
Yeah, if the district court judge essentially is still just doing the guidelines, business as usual. That doesn't seem to be what Booker held.
Judge, I don't think in this case, on this record, that the district court did that. That the district court made this sort of knee-jerk reliance on the guidelines and ignored all other factors. The district court specifically mentioned during the sentencing that the guidelines were advisory. He heard argument on all of the mitigating factors that were raised by the defendant, his illness, his family's illness, things like along those lines. We, of course, put in evidence of the defendant's willingness to use violence as part of his gang activities, which is a factor that did not go into the guidelines range calculation. And so I think Judge Norgal, like a lot of other district court judges, looks to the guidelines because as the Booker decision and as other decisions have said, I mean, the guidelines as a whole incorporate a lot of the 3553A factors into them. They're sort of the one factor that overlap the other factors. And so it makes perfect sense that you would still see judges relying on guidelines generally because they take into account a lot of the other 3553A factors. And I think that's what the judge did in this case. I think in this case, there was clearly evidence in the record to support a 222-month sentence is reasonable under any set of conditions. We have a defendant who conspired to traffic in more than 5 kilograms of cocaine. He obstructed justice. One of his co-defendants, with his awareness, used a firearm to further the drug trafficking activity. And as we showed at sentencing, this is also a defendant who finds it acceptable, or at least at the time, it was within the realm of his personality to just go out and shoot rival gang members if he had an opportunity to do that. 2 blocks from a police station on the south side of Chicago in broad daylight on a Tuesday. All of those factors together, I think, they relate directly to the 3553A factors for deterrence of this defendant, for protection of the community. In fact, I think it's on pages 30 and 31 of the sentencing transcript where Judge Norgal specifically addresses that. He says, you know, in order to protect the community, deter this defendant from these behaviors, I need to impose a heavy sentence. And he did exactly that. And he did a sentence that I would submit is reasonable. You know, whether the court obviously wants to hold cases waiting for a decision in Rita and Claiborne, that's obviously for the court to decide. The defendant, of course, could preserve he could, you know, apply petition for cert to the Supreme Court and hold it that way. But I think in this case what the record shows is the district court did not just rely upon the guidelines. He considered the factors. As this court said in Dean, he wasn't required to go through a laundry list of each factor and consider every single alleged mitigating factor the defendant raised. The district court listened to us, he heard us argue, and he came up with a sentence that on this record is an all.
Now, one of his mitigating factors, I found this just factually close to impossible, actually, is the drug abuse. And it seems that he was consuming 3 to 4 cases of beer a day.
I believe that's
that would be 72 to 96 cans of beer.
That's right.
In a
Judge.
Day.
That's what he told the probation officer. That's what's in the PSR. So it's
I don't think that's report. Actually physically possible, to tell you the truth. But.
If he didn't sleep, he'd need to have at least 3 to 4 cans of beer every hour, every single day. So I think there is enough in the record to show that he does have an alcohol and drug problem. So to the extent, I mean, he has a problem. I don't know if it's of that magnitude, but there's enough there.
Maybe an exaggerated estimate. Okay.
Unless the court has any other questions, we'd simply ask that the court reaffirm the defendant's sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Mr. Carlson, you have 5 minutes of you, sir.
I have nothing in unless you have any questions.
I do not, sir, except to thank you for having taken the appointment. You have the deep thanks of the court. Indeed, thanks to both counsel for their fine submissions today. The case will be taken under advisement.